someone on the Christian TV, and they said, what would you like us to do as Christians? And he said, just pray for us. Please just pray for us. So I was so impressed with this, and I was so impressed with the courage and boldness and the way that he was going into to battle. And I just thought it was amazing. I thought, well, these are Israelis are kind of standout people, aren't they, in this boldness and courage. And I thought, well, maybe God has sort of given them that as a particular gift, because we know they're the most intelligent people in the world. They've won more of the Nobel Prizes than any other group of people. I think 27% have been won by Jews, and there's only 3% of the population are Jewish. So God has endowed them with this super intelligence, and we can't deny that, can we? Einstein, well, he was a Jew, of course, but he was just one of many. And I thought, well, perhaps, you know, this is something that God has just given them that maybe we don't have. But then I thought about it, and I thought, well, no, that can't be right, because when you look back and think back at the time when Israel, the Israelites were brought out of Egypt by God, they certainly weren't bold and courageous, were they? In fact, God described them as a wicked and perverse generation in whom was no faith. So that was sort of the opposite, wasn't it? And yet, even so, God had done these amazing miracles which had never been done in the earth before. God had showed himself out to be God. That had never happened before, until it happened that time in Egypt when he brought them out. And you think that would have produced faith in them, wouldn't you? But that proves that faith doesn't come by miracles. Doesn't come by miracles. Faith comes by the word of God. So that's sort of another little message there. But here were these people, and they weren't a generation who were to be admired, and as we know, they all died in the wilderness. But even whilst they were in the wilderness, God provided for them. Their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. Imagine that. Imagine not being able to buy shoes, Jewel. And I thought about Ross, you know, he loves buying shoes, and we call him Imelda Ross. Imelda Ross, you know, from Imelda Market, we call him Imelda Ross. And I thought, well, I don't know whether he'd be that happy about that. And talking about shoes, I remember last week, see, we sit up the front and we see things, and Graham had on these very pretty little blue shoes, pale blue shoes. I thought, oh, I hope Ross doesn't see. He'll want to buy a little pink pair or something. So, but anyway. even though those things happened, it didn't produce any faith. So obviously it's not a character trait, or it's not something that God has just given these Israelis now. So I couldn't help thinking, to compare that with the average Christian, to compare it with ourselves. Look, if we're totally honest about this, could we really be described as bold and courageous? I don't think we could. Maybe timid and fearful and complacent, maybe those words might, if we're honest, describe the church. Admittedly, we haven't had the pressure put on us, and we haven't been tested. And it's not till you're tested, is it, that you actually know what's inside you. And I'd like to think that when we're tested, that we are going to rise up and we're going to be bold and we're going to be courageous, because we're going to need to be that way. You know, I think a lot of this comes from the Christian ideology, which sort of says, as Julie mentioned, don't concern yourself with anything outside the church. You know, mustn't have an opinion, or you certainly mustn't speak that opinion. And I don't know where that's come from, but I know that it's been around ever since I was young. I can even remember when I was first going to church and saved, that it was quite a common thing. You'd say to some people, oh, you know, do you believe in this? And these people would be Christians, I presume. And you'd ask them certain things and they'd say, oh, no, I'm not talking about that. My faith is very private and I don't talk about it to anyone. Really? I think that's the proverbial Christian in the closet, living in the closet. You know, a bit like Koyler Lake, you know, Koyler Lake, Aturos. The mouth of Koyler Lake's closed 12 months of the year until it's forced open. I think maybe a lot of Christians are the same. Our mouth is closed till it's forced open. and I think it stems a bit from the typical Aussie thing, she'll be right, mate. You know, we are sort of a complacent type people. That's sort of a generality of our genre sort of thing. You know, I used to like the way Marty used to say we need to nail our colours to the mast. And I think the time is coming, we're going to have to do that more and more. We're going to have to learn to speak out and nail our colours, and people are going to know what we stand for, what we believe. And this is really standing up for the Word of God. And I want to encourage us today by looking at some examples in the Word, because that's where we get our encouragement from. And let's go back to Deuteronomy, to the time when Moses, as we know, was just about to die, and he was never going into the Promised Land. God had told him he had kind of failed in a particular situation and he couldn't go in. But here he says, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Now, I've highlighted all these words as we go through. This is what we're going to focus on. Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So here's some instructions for Joshua. I guess Joshua was hoping that he'd say something, don't worry, God will be doing the same miracles for you as he did for me. You won't have to worry, it'll be piece of cake. But he didn't say that. He said, you be bold and you be of good courage. And he exhorted him that the Lord was going to be there with him. And then we see that Moses died, and we go into Joshua chapter 1, and we see that the Lord spoke directly to Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Notice he says, I've given it to them. Not, I'm going to give it to them, oh, good luck with that, you know, hope you make it. But he said, no, I've given it to you. And, you know, we can apply that to things in our life. God gives us things. We have to receive them and believe that they belong to us, don't we? And that applies to lots of areas. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Wow. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, be strong and of a good courage. Oh, heard that before. For unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So now he's bringing in about the word of God. Where am I? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Really? Really? I suppose he thought, really? I've got to meditate the word. Yeah, and that's going to get me through. I mean, Moses couldn't get through to the problem. Maybe he thought, maybe that went through his mind. And then God went on, he says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. And then he adds this, he says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So here we are, these are the basic instructions that he's given Joshua. And he says, be strong. So obviously if you can be strong, you can be weak or not be strong. So it's something we can be. You know, you might say, oh, I'm not strong in that, and you know, but we can be strong and we can be courageous. But to do that, we have to not be afraid. So obviously fear and courage are not going to go together. So we've got to get rid of fear and don't be dismayed. Another word for that is don't be alarmed about anything. So we have to get rid, you know, he's telling Joshua, get rid of some things, but be this other way, be this other way. And then meditate on the word. You know, it just sounds such a simple thing. And, you know, I think perhaps it's probably fair to say that we underestimate the power of the word of God. That just by saying meditate on the word, go, really? Is that going to be enough to, you know, to get us into the promised land? Well, obviously it was enough because they went into the promised land, didn't they? And he only had the Pentateuch to meditate on. So he didn't have the whole Bible. It was just the first five books of the Bible. And yet that was enough to get them into the promised land. So we've got the whole Bible. That's more than enough to get us into our promised land and the things that we're believing for. See, we can apply these things to our own life. These things are written for an example for us. And this takes faith. We're going to see how faith is involved in all this. Faith's involved in everything. Sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't preach on faith. But hey, it's impossible to please God without faith. Nothing works without faith. And the writer of Hebrews said here, and he was referring back to this situation with the Israelites. He says, let us therefore fear, he's speaking to the Christian Hebrews, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, that's meaning unto the Israelites, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, you know, we can hear the word, we could sit here today and hear the word. But you could go out and go, yeah, whatever, you know, oh, okay. But unless we mix faith with it, unless we believe it and apply it and put it into our lives and say, I believe what God says is true, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that in my life. So that's what Israel didn't do. They really didn't believe anything that God said. And of course, getting back to the church now, you know, we haven't really been tested. We've never had a war on our shores. We haven't suddenly come upon this terrible situation that Israel finds themselves in. Here they are after this invasion on the 7th of October. They found themselves in a war that they didn't start, a war that they didn't want, but a war that they have to fight just to stay alive as a nation. And, you know, it's a very onerous situation for them. And, of course, we've never faced that. We've lived a utopian lifestyle. We've never had threats of being killed. I mean, we're not worried about opening the front door and having an automatic weapon, you know, thrust in our face, are we? I mean, just sort of laugh at it. But nevertheless, we have the start of a war in this country, and it's a propaganda war. And the propaganda war, as you know, is gaining a lot of momentum. A lot of momentum. It's just the same, like it's deja vu, really, when you compare it with the Third Reich and how Adolf Hitler became, you know, a Chancellor of Germany. And then he started the propaganda against the Jews. And he even had a propaganda minister. Goebbels was the propaganda minister. And he did a pretty good job, didn't he? Because by 1939, the majority of the German people and other people around the world all hated the Jews and blamed them for something they had nothing to do with. And I think, oh, we're deja vu, aren't we? And we thought we'd seen the end of this. We never thought we would ever hear of this again. And yet here we have it, even at our own doorstep. So we are in a war. And it's a different sort of a war. Propaganda, I thought this example of it was great, this explanation. Propaganda is the dissemination of information. Facts, arguments, rumours, half-truths or lies to influence public opinion, deliberateness and a relatively heavy emphasis on manipulation. Distinguish propaganda from casual conversation or the free and easy exchange of ideas. What do you think of that? I thought that was a bit of a wow, the way they described that. So we know that the propaganda that we're hearing is going to eventually come out even more against us, against the church. We haven't felt it yet, but it's heading that way because it's all against godliness, it's against the gospel. With the rise of anti-Semitism, the woke ideology, a whole lot of things which have already been made law are designed to change the face of our society and the face of Australia. And that's why we're going to have to rise up and be bold and be strong and be very courageous. We can't just sit with our head in the sand anymore because I feel we have done that. We've all been guilty of it. You know, you might think, well, I'm not really a strong person. I'm really quite shy and it's not my personality. Plus the fact I really don't want to be involved in anything. But as we've said, you can be strong or you can not be strong. So it's not to do with our personality or anything like that. It's to do with a decision that we make inside ourselves, how we want to be. And, you know, we've probably all been strong on occasions, but we've probably been weak as well. But, you know, our strength can run out very quickly. When you're faced with a sudden situation, you then suddenly find out how strong you are or aren't. But we've got to remember that our strength as Christians is in the Lord, and our strength comes from God. He ministers his strength through his word and through his spirit and through his angels too. Don't forget the angels. suddenly. I couldn't help thinking of the time when Jesus was at his most desperate in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, and the disciples are too tired at that time to help in the moment of crisis. He was praying, and he was in such an emotional state that the blood came out of the pores of his skin. And I looked that up once, and it said it was actually a medical condition. It has a name to it. It's a medical condition that happened to him. So that was the extreme stress that he had. And yet it said then angels came and ministered to him. And we know that it had an effect, because he got up from there, he got up from his prayer, he got up from there, and he went, and here was Judas with all, he bought 400, I think it was 400, or the number, you can correct me if I'm wrong, soldiers all coming to get him. Imagine having to bring 400 soldiers. I brought that, and they said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, "I am he." And when he said that, they all fell out under the power of God. They all fell backwards. Had he received strength from those angels ministering strength to him? He had. So, you know, we've got all these things so that we can be strong, because it's not just us. This is the verse that we all know. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So we have to be strong in the Lord, don't we? And in the power of his might. And we're strong in the Lord when we're strong in his word and what he says. Put on the whole armour of God, and we know it goes down and tells us all that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is a fight, isn't it? You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, look, just believe in yourself." And I've often thought, really? Believe in myself? I don't believe in myself. I'm a disaster going somewhere to happen. and did happen. So I'm not going to believe in myself. No, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, isn't it? Something happened to us when we got born again, didn't it? Do you believe that? That the greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. That's one of my favourite little verses that I say over myself. Greater is he that's in me. And if you're feeling a bit, you know, in a situation a bit fearful or whatever, you just keep saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, it's just what we say about ourselves is what comes out. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's another good verse. I'll give you that one as well. So I want to look today at David's mighty men. I just love this story. I really do. And these mighty men, and we're going to see how they joined themselves with David. And we know that David was an absolutely amazing leader. And he became that way from being a shepherd out on the hillside, just he and God, no one else to help him. And the devil came to him in the form of a bear and a lion, and he killed them. Did you know that a man, a young boy like that, can't kill a bear and a lion? did you know that? That can't happen in the natural. But he did, and he proved God. So when the Goliath situation came, that was a piece of cake, wasn't it? He said, "Oh, I've already killed the bear and the lion. You know, who do you think you are?" sort of thing. So so our past victories are going to have a benefit to things we face in the future. So don't despise it when these things happen. Well, look on the positive side. So we see that boldness and courage depict our faith and the outworking of our faith, whereas weakness and timidity depict doubt and unbelief. So we just want to make that little distinction. Now let's start and read about David's mighty men. In Samuel it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Don't quite know how thithering works, but you kind of get the message. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Wow, how wonderful. Oh, we could say, guess what? Our church grew by 400 people in 1 week. We've got 400 new people, and they're all a bunch of whingers. They're all in debt, and they're all stressed out of their minds, but our church has grown. He's probably thought the same, David. Do I really want these people? And they all gathered themselves together with him. But we're going to see what God did in these men to make them mighty men. So remember how they were, okay? You know, and they're following David. Now we're going to see it makes a difference who you follow. And I know with our own little pastor, I don't want to embarrass her, but you know, we're following the right person, because Julie, as we know, has been through so much and has shown so much courage and boldness, and that's why we're all still here today. That's why we're here. So it doesn't matter who you follow. Yes, it does, because those anointings and the things that our leaders have learned are going to flow over onto us. So David's mighty men. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachbonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. Just excuse me if I don't pronounce these names properly. Don't come and tell me later. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now, did you know that one man with a spear can't kill 800 people? Did you know that? It's not something you can do. But he did it. How did he do it? Because God came in. He stepped out in boldness and courage and in faith, and he had some faith to stand against 800 men, and God honoured that, and supernaturally, a supernatural event occurred. He became a mighty man. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Jehoite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, I bet, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil, or to get the spoil. So here we are, there's no excuse. Even if your father's a dodo, you can still make it in life. Here he was. And who wrought the great victory? The Lord wrought the victory. The Lord wrought the victory. But he did it through a man. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Who wrought the victory? The Lord did. But he used a man to do it. A man who stood in courage and strength and faith. Nobody stood with him, you notice. No one stood with him. And that's an example. You know, and there might be times in your life when you have to stand alone, when no one will stand with you. And, you know, I know at time it wasn't a major thing, but it was something which hurtful at the time. I was in a situation which was quite unjust against me. And there were three people, they were all Christians, and they knew what had happened, and they were sympathetic and said, oh, it was terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I needed a phone number because I was going to take it further and try to get this matter sorted out. But when push came to shove and I said, oh, can you give me the phone number? No, they weren't going to do that. no, no, we don't want to be involved. We don't want to. So off they went. So, you know, here I was left alone. And kind of, it's a bit disappointing. But you see, it shows really where people are at when the pressure comes on. So sometimes you have to stand alone. And then going on, it says, and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hole. This is an amazing story. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, he probably just said it as a flyaway line, you know, I'd love to have a drink, you know what I mean. However, the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Look, that story just leaves me speechless. What character have these people got that these men loved David so much that they would do that, risk their lives? And he was so appalled that they'd done that and so grateful, so overwhelmed that he, yes, being the great man that he was, no, I'll pour this out, I'm not going to drink it. I just love that story. I think we need more people around like that today. We want to be like that, don't we? We want to be those type of people. That's what we want to be. I know we do. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three. And he lifted up his spear against 300 this time, and slew them, and had the name among the three. Was he not the most honourable of three? Therefore he was their captain, howbeit he attained not unto the first three. And here we see where God is depicting grades of greatness. Because, you know, There are grades in the church. We're not a communist church where everyone's equal and everyone's the same. There are different grades. And, you know, I think we can read in the Word where God makes people captains over tens, captains over 20s, captains over 100, etc., like that. And that's a great system, and it works well because God has endowed different people with different gifts. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Gabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. I don't know what a lion-like man is. Suppose they had long hair or something, a beard, I don't know. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Well, I suppose that'd be harder, really, in snow, wouldn't it? And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, and he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Hooray! Voila! These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honourable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. So what can we say, friends? What can we say but wow? But hang on, weren't these the whingers? Weren't these the ones that were stressed out of their mind? Weren't these the ones that owed everybody money? What happened to them? They followed the right person and they believed God and they used their faith and they became mighty men of God. And we too, there's no excuse, can be and are mighty men and women of God. And that's what we've got to be. And we're going to rise up. And we're going to rise up and be counted, aren't we? So there's no excuse for us. We can be bold or we can not be bold. So is this a valid message for this time? Is it really important? Well, I believe it is. I believe it is because there's all sorts of battles in life. Despite the whole situation in the world and in Australia, we all have our own personal battles. And sometimes I guess we've probably all been timid, we've been fearful, we've let those things take over, and of course it's been a disaster. But when we're bold and courageous and we do things in faith with other qualities as well, the wisdom of God and those things, we are going to succeed in life and we're going to go forward in the strength of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.